This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The reason that he'll be the first one to admit this, the reason that he didn't get a head coaching job to his 58 had nothing to do with his ability to coach. He wasn't the grandstander, man. He wasn't the kind of guy that went out and told you how good he was. You know, in his mind, there's enough guys doing that. There's enough guys that are banging on the drum telling you how good they are at coaching and reciting stats, and we did this and we did that and all that stuff. That's not him. And I think that's what kind of draws you to him. I have never heard him talk about himself or about his program or about, you know, when we got here, it was like this and now we're like that. None of that ever have I heard. All he wants to do is win on Sunday or Saturday. That's all he wants to do. He's not interested in telling you about what he's done and, you know, when he was with the Cowboys or any of that stuff. He's got no, sometimes if you're sitting with him and you're not, you know, in a formal setting, he's got funny stories to tell, you know, about coaching Deion Sanders and all that stuff. He's got interesting stories, but he's not interested in telling you about himself and tell you how good he is. He's not interested in any of that. He just wants to win on Saturday or Sunday. And I find that to be refreshing. He's old school. But he doesn't care what you think of him, and he doesn't care. All he wants to do is win and get the absolute most out of every player that he's got. That's it, period. And you never hear him reciting this and that and how they did this or that and, you know, what he did, all that. Never. That's just not who he is. Now, yesterday, the star of the game was Kyle Rudolph. And to an extent, Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen right there. The defense obviously was outstanding. But Rudolph makes the big catch in the end zone in overtime. Then after the game, we all inundated him. And then later they came out on the field and they walked across the field to get to their bus on the other side. And I caught up to him. I said, can I get a one-on-one with you? Which is pretty hard to do because there's so many national media and all that stuff. And he said, absolutely. And so I sat with Kyle Rudolph and visited with him about not just the big moment in the game, but the big moment in his career when he found a way to come back and play for the Minnesota Vikings.
It subsides a little bit. It takes a while to digest these things, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's 52 other heroes in there. Mm-hmm. It's not me. I mean, it took every guy in our locker room to come into a extremely tough environment. You know, nobody gave us a chance, and I've said it all week, rightfully so. That's a really good football team with a Hall of Fame quarterback, probably a Hall of Fame head coach, and they don't lose too often here in the playoffs. So we knew it would take our best effort. We knew it would take 60 minutes, and it took about 64 minutes and 50 seconds, so we needed a little bit of extra today.
You know, I think back, though, knowing you like I have for a while, and I think back to the summer. Well, Kyle Rudolph be back, will he not? You guys work it out. I mean, all that stuff that has to happen to get to a day like today, what dawns on you when you think of that?
Well, I said it the day that I was officially back with the team. It's because we have unfinished business. This organization's never won a championship, and I want to be part of the first. And today was just the first step in getting one game closer to that. And the last time that we won an emotional game on the last play, we went and laid an egg the following week. So, you know, we got a short week. We got to enjoy this one for the flight home. It'll be a much happier flight than had we lost. But then when we get back in Minnesota, it's on to San Francisco. We got to go to the one seed on the road, and it's going to be a battle.
Last question, what does this team mean to you, though, when you battle through? And can you put that in perspective to play in a team that does something like this?
This team means everything to me. That's why I had no desire in playing anywhere else. No matter what happened in the offseason, I was doing everything I could to be back in Minnesota, and it's because of the guys in the locker room. It's because of the culture that Coach Zimmer has established, that Rick Spielman's established. I'm just so proud and happy to be a part of it.
Kyle Rudolph, basking in the glory, but only short term, from yesterday's win. I'm going to be out there this week. I'll bring you whatever I know. I'm going to go out Thursday probably, and then be out there until Sunday. They actually play in San Jose. And I remember this, I believe accurately, the last time I was out there was the last time they played out there. It was Mike Zimmer's second year. Adrian Peterson had missed the first season, then he'd come back for the second season. And he'd been suspended by the league or whatever it was that the first season Zimmer was here. And then they came back the next year and they played at San Francisco the next year, and they had Adrian back, and there was a fair amount of fanfare because they had trended in the right direction in November, December, in Zimmer's first year. So now they play the San Francisco 49ers out there, and it's in. They actually play only about 10 minutes from the San Jose airport. It's not close to San Francisco, and probably an hour from San Francisco airport. And so there's much anticipation because they open on a Monday night, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And Adrian didn't play all that well, neither did the Vikings. They tried to establish him hard. North Turner had a game plan. They tried to establish him hard, and San Francisco took him away. San Francisco did not have a great season that year. They were not a great team, but that night they controlled the Vikings and left a lot of doubt about whether or not this team was going in the right direction. Well, the Vikings recovered and won the division. The 49ers had a bad year, and I believe they fired their coach after one season, as I recall. But that night, that's not what you predicted because it didn't look like that. And I just remember that takeaway. But after the game, as I recall, I was staying overnight, flying out the next day. The Vikings always charter back. It was a Monday night, so that meant that they had a short week. And as I recall, they had flown into San Francisco. And the airport, San Francisco, says no planes out after midnight or something. And so they had to, like, hurry through a shower if they even got one, jumped on a bus just to get to San Francisco in time to get back because they couldn't afford to stay overnight because it was a short week and they had to prepare for the next week's game. And now you got a team that just lost with high expectations and Adrian Peterson back. They laid an egg against the 49ers, and now they're rushing back to maybe some of them didn't even shower to fly back all night from San Francisco. So it was not a great cocktail that night of things that happened. But you know what? They recovered. They came back. They did great things, and that's what we try to do in sports, right? Is figure out a way to get back up, and that's what they've done this year. You know, like I said, Adam Thielen, you know, fumbles the first one. He hasn't had a great, you know, since he came back from injury. And then all of a sudden, he kind of finds himself. And then eventually he makes the great play. Why? Because he stuck with it. He stuck with it. And those New Orleans fans, they couldn't have been nicer. I got to tell you, they are some nice folk. They appreciate the Vikings. They were disappointed, all that stuff. But they're hey, you guys go get them. Whatever y'all want to do, you go get it done. That's what they taught in Cajun country. I'll share some more from New Orleans, plus visit with Anthony Barr when we come back. This is Sports to the Max. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Mike Max back from New Orleans. Going to head down to San Jose and San Francisco. Covering those Minnesota Vikings as they make a run what they hope towards the Super Bowl. We'll see. One of the interesting people that came back for the Vikings that didn't have to come back that looked like he was gone, at least for a minute, was Anthony Barr. He didn't have to. Had to deal with the New York Jets. And I think he has lived to appreciate what he did. Come back and stay with his team, the Minnesota Vikings, after yesterday's win in New Orleans. I had a chance to visit with Anthony Barr. Anthony, you've played a few years in this league. These wins are hard to come by in the regular season, let alone the playoffs. Give us some perspective on what one like this means.
Yeah, I mean, winning 10 games the regular season is tough. Getting to the playoffs is not an easy feat. And then playing a game like today on the road against a really good football team is not easy either. But we're a resilient bunch. We've always come together at the right time this year. Hopefully this thing starts to roll right now.
You came back when you didn't have to come back and you turned down money to come back. Does it all feel validated on days like today?
I mean, I think it kind of speaks for itself. You know, I don't think I need to say too much about that. I'm happy to be here.
And this team, this defensive team that's been together so much, what does that mean on a field on a day like this when you communicate like that and you've done it for years?
Yeah, it's huge, and it makes it that much more special doing the guys that you love and the guys you go to work with every day and the guys we've been with 5-6 years, you know. So to be able to do it this bunch is special, and, you know, hopefully, like I said, we'll keep this thing rolling.
It sounds like guys are already starting to think, hey, we got a short week. Let's get over this quick.
Yeah, we got a real short week, and we got to get to the West Coast real soon. So we'll enjoy this one for the flight home and forget about it and get ready back to work tomorrow.
They will get back to work tomorrow, really, because today they had the day off unless you needed treatment. Mike Zimmer and the coaching staff went to work around to Coach Rollis. We were walking out, and I said, well, I'll take a deep breath and enjoy this. He said, are you kidding me? This is football coaching. That's not the way. I've always kind of patterned myself, or at least observed. I don't observe other reporters or talk show hosts, anything like that. I've always watched football coaches. And the reason that I always watch football coaches is I believe that they may have the greatest template for success as any industry that's offered out there. And the reason I believe that is they spend so much time preparing for once a week, whatever it is. They spend so much time preparing and so much time
trying to figure out what it is they need to do effectively to win. And I think that you can take it to the nth degree, but I think in a real healthy way, they look at the tape from yesterday, okay? They watch every player, every play. He gets a grade. I don't know if you people know this or not. They get a grade on every play. Every player on the field gets graded on every play. That's what the coaches did today. They gave them their grades, their film grades. Tomorrow they'll share them with the players and the team. Generally speaking, they have an idea where they stand, but they take it to another level in detail. So even when you win or you lose, independent of that, they are working on correcting you, on putting you in the right position, and on making sure that you do the right thing every play, analytically speaking. And they don't get too carried up away with, did you win or lose yesterday? They get very much into the details of how do we get the most out of you at this position. And then they begin developing a game plan for the next week based on what they see in the opponent that would allow them the best opportunity to win. See how these templates and these things come together? The preparation, the looking for, the absolute focus on what you can control. You know, your team, what does our team do well? How can our team offset what they're trying to do? I just think those are wonderful things that can help you in life. And that's what football coaches do every week. And that's what they're doing right now. So Coach Rollis' point was, no, you don't, because you got up early today, the coaches did, and they're still out there right now. And they go from grading this week's tape, and after they do that, they basically throw it in the wastebasket and say, okay, what do we learn from that? Now we move on. So you pivot and you go, okay, that was last week. Now here comes this week. And here comes this week, and it's the San Francisco 49ers. And what some coaches will do is they'll set the tone early in the week and they'll say, this is why you should be scared of the San Francisco 49ers, because they want your attention, your respect, and a little bit of fear. They want you to respect this team that you're going to play. So they give you every possible statistic that favors the San Francisco 49ers. So-and-so's rushed for over 1,000 yards. So-and-so catches 8 balls a game for 92 yards, and blah, 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 because they need to get your attention. And they need to tell you why it is so important that you study and get ready for this week. They need full they're nothing less than, and they got this great big room out there. And Egan, and it's a great big theater-like seating, and they're great big seats and plenty of legroom because they got great big guys. And down at the bottom of that sits the coach or Coach Zimmer, and he sets the tone for the week with that speech. And then what a lot of coaches will do is they'll pivot again, maybe in the NFL's case, Thursday, Friday, a couple days before the game. And they begin to, and this is the key, instill the confidence. So they got your attention. They've got you a little bit afraid. If you don't study, you're going to get beat by this. And then they start to move in. Yeah, the 49ers lead the league in, I don't know what, third down efficiency. But you know what? They've never played against us before. We'll take that away every play. So see what you're doing? You got their attention, and now you got the hammer. You know, they're the best team inside the 10-yard line. Offensively, you know what? We're the best team inside the 10-yard line defensively. I think we're better than they are. What do you think of that, boys? And you move that needle in that direction. This is where football gets really fun and exciting. First, you lay out the strategy because technically you got to be correct. You got to be correct, right? Everything you do, you got to be correct technically. But there's also this confidence that has to come with it. You got to have the swagger. You got to believe. You need that, and you need to be able to study an opponent correctly. You need to be able to understand what they're trying to do to you. And once you've ingested that and you have that and you figured it out and you know pretty much what it is you think they're going to, then now we need confidence. So we're throwing a dab of confidence into the blender here. And you say, look, everybody thinks that we're fading away, and you give a little of that underdog treatment, right? Nobody said we could beat the New Orleans Saints. Nobody. We believe that's all that mattered. Nobody thinks we can beat the San Francisco 49ers. We're 7-point underdogs. Can you believe? Doesn't matter, because we believe. We got the best game plan that we've ever had all season because we know what they're going to try to do to us. See, now you get the wheels turning. We can beat anybody. And we know what they're going to do. So first you get them studying, you get them in cerebral mode, then you get them in emotional mode. And then you get this combustion, this spontaneous combustion. come game day. And it's unbelievable because it's the NFL and there's nothing greater, bigger. You know, we were reminded yesterday how big the Vikings are, how much bigger they are than anybody else in town. There are certain teams and sports that go on runs and they might rent some space, but the Vikings own it. And when they do something like yesterday, it's just so obvious. They're just huge. The ratings on that game were unbelievable. They approached Super Bowl numbers in the second half. Locally. Because why? Because it's the Vikings. Because it's the Vikings playing in the playoffs. And that's all you need to say. Now, Dalvin Cook's the key to this thing. He is the running back extraordinaire. That, and here's what I like about Dalvin Cook. I'm not going to say I'm close personal friends with him or anything like that. But I truly believe my observations of him and in my conversations with him that he truly doesn't care that much about his statistics. I truly believe that he is what we call a baller, and all he wants to do is get the ball as much as he can, give you everything he's got, and win the game. And I don't think he's the kind of guy, let's just say it was the final game of the season, and he was hurting a little bit, and he knew if he got 50 yards, he'd win the rushing title. I don't think he'd do it if he was hurting, because that's not important to him. I think the winning part is. And resting him for 2 weeks was ingenious by the Minnesota Vikings. Anyway, after yesterday's game, I talked to him. Where we pick up the conversation, he's talking about Stephon Diggs, who had an emotional outburst, but what Stephon means to the team despite that.
We don't take it no type of way. We accept Diggs for who he is. You know, that's our guy. So we love that guy, man. And we love that emotion. That get us going. Like, that's just him, man. You know, we love that guy, man.
Delvin, do you think the 2 weeks helped you? I mean, the resting up, did you feel real rested coming in?
I did. I felt it in practice. I was flying around this week, just getting myself back in condition to play a football game. I was flying around all week, pushing myself like I was in a football game, and I think it paid off because I think I had like 30 touches a day.
You kind of took it upon yourself to will this team to win almost, didn't you? I mean, you wanted the ball, everybody.
Yeah, you got it's a big moment. It's the biggest game. We worked hard all season not to just flush this down the toilet, man. Big moments, you gotta want the ball in big time moments. So I know I couldn't get in every play, but we got some guys that can make some plays, and you seen what Adam and Rudy did at the end. They made some plays, but I definitely want the ball in the biggest moments to make a play.
How did it feel to get in the end zone twice?
Big time, playoff game. Anytime I can change the scoreboards and get us some points, man, I'm gonna do everything I can. Jump over, you know, whatever I gotta do, I'm gonna do it.
What does this team mean to you?
A lot. Special team, man. I think we could continue to be whatever we want to be. And I've been saying that all year. We control what we want to do. We control our destiny. We got in the dance. We took care of game one. Let's go take care of game two. And let's just keep taking it one game at a time. And I think we can control everything we want to.
What will this week be like?
We got to recover first. We got to recover first. I'm tired right now. But, you know, tomorrow will be good. But it's a short week. I think we play on Saturday.
Yeah.
And we got to get ready to go to the West Coast. So. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to get our bodies and our mind ready to go take care of some business. But I think guys are going to lock in and be ready to go, man.
There you go. The Minnesota Vikings prepare for the 49ers. Now, you think you're a Viking fan. I know a lot of you out there listening think you're a Viking fan. And you think a lot of you think you're diehard Viking fans. Folks, I met a diehard Viking fan down in New Orleans. And I doubt you compare it to who this diehard Viking fan is and what he would do to go watch the Vikings play. It's an unbelievable story. He will share it with us when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.